Wednesday afternoon, Chavos Halvavos Shir to women, Shari Yichud HaMaisa, the second Shir. Good afternoon. Okay, Chavos Halvavos, Shari Yichud HaMaisa, the second Shir. And we're in his Hakdama. Very rather short Hakdama, certainly compared to Shaar HaBitachon, it's a short Hakdama. And in the Hakdama, he says that it makes sense that this follows Shaar HaBitachon because you really will be able to develop, as he'll say explicitly in the second Perek, you'll only be able to develop Yichud HaMaisa if. It's built on bitachon. Yichud HaMaisa means a single-mindedly. The focus of your actions, the goal of your actions, the point of your actions, is all devoted to doing the will of Hashem. Nothing else. This, as we learn through the Shaar Be'ezus Hashem, it gets deeper and deeper. Because you start off saying, okay, so I don't want to just be a people pleaser. I don't want to just play to the crowds. That's hard enough as it is. Most of the things, all right, maybe I shouldn't be so harsh. Many of the things we do is because there's some sort of cheshbon, conscious or subconscious, that we want people to hold of what we're doing, our standing in whatever society we've chosen to be in, maybe our jobs, maybe our relationships, and that's the focus. So okay, we'll work on that, and yeah, Hashem, Hashem, Hashem. But then as we get deeper, and that's going to take a lifetime. In your second lifetime, you can start working on, it's not even about us, and that's a really, really difficult, if not impossible, task. It's not even about us. It's not even about our spirituality, ultimately. And that's really, really deep. And it, at the end of the day, our greatest, and really the Tanya develops this idea, our greatest pleasure and our greatest success in life is bittul Lashem. And the irony of losing oneself in Hashem's will is that that is the most fulfilling thing that a person could do. And you know. But the more you realize that, the more you will get in the way of doing Hashem's will. And it gets really subtle and really deep because it's not even about you and about your growth and your bonding to Hashem. And it's not even all these sublime, wonderful, esoteric ideas we talk about. But that's really on a level. That's like Moshe Rabbeinu saying, "V'mayin mecheni no misifrecha asher kasavta." I mean, that's willing to trade in your olam haba for either doing a mitzvah in the stories that we read, or to avoid chilul Hashem. And but that, you know, so say, okay, you know, to us olam haba is like, okay, I'll write you out a check. Where do I sign? Losing your olam haba really means that you're sacrificing your neshama, you're sacrificing the eternity of your neshama. It's like, it's deep, it's heavy, and it's something that really it's something we can think about and say the words, but to ever reach there is, getting back to good old Yichud HaMaisa, I'm just saying how far it goes. It starts off with, I'm not going to daven a longer Shmona Esrei because someone's watching me. And I'm not going to give tzedakah because I'll get honored. But it ends up in a really, really deep place. Yichud HaMaisa
is the single-minded devotion, and we talked about the lashonos that he uses on the second or third line of the Hakdama, where he's talking about how wonderful it is, and he really says that, you know, it preserves your self-identity. Let's not talk about this last madrega. Let's just say that I am focused on doing the will of Hashem, and that's what I am all about. And you maintain a certain single... It's really, you become like Hashem in the sense of Hashem Echad. You maintain a certain unity of identity. If you're all things to all people, those are the people who get depressed. If there are a number of days, weeks, months, or years, you know, you wake up and you say, you know, where am I? In the famous words of the novelist, like, who am I? Who am I? I spent my life pleasing other people. Who am I? So an atheist will say, well, you have the same problem with Hashem. But if you believe in Hashem, then that's who you are, because Hashem created us. So Hashem precedes us. And we are only what Hashem made of us. We are indeed nothing else. And the greatest contradiction to your own self-identity would be to deny Hashem. Then you're really nothing. Because we're only, our whole existence is tied up in Hashem's will. Again, moving beyond that, it's self-identity, it's integrity. Because one day I'm like this, and one day I'm like that, and another day I do what's convenient, and another day I do what makes people like me, and another day, and I'm machmir, and I'm mekil, and I, you know, I wish it was a joke.
Yes.
You know, I had a Rosh Hashiva, my Rosh Hashiva of Abba Berman Zatzal, used to say, it's when something, he said, it's taka funny, but the joke's on us. You maintain a certain integrity when you are focused on Ratzon Hashem, a consistency, and now you can do l'chumra one day and l'kula another day, right? And it's not contradictory, as long as you are. Of course, if one day Hashem's will is to be machmir, and another day Hashem's will is to be meikil, you've maintained your integrity. You've maintained your consistency. See, that's the difference. If I'm just playing to the crowd, then I have no self-identity, and I'm inconsistent. And one day I wake up and I get depressed. But if you're always doing Hashem's will, then you're just building and you're just solidifying the fact that you're not locked into anything other than Hashem's will. He talks about, and these are the phrases we specifically focused on, Zakus Mahamitzponim Ubar Halavavos, which is like in the Pasuk Nekicha Paim Uvar Levov, purity of heart. No, Zakus Hamitzponim is probably more. No. Zakus is integrity. Zakus Hamitzponim is, it's pure, like you say, pure gold. So it's integrity and consistency. Zakus Hamitzponim, you're not serving two masters. This is really. You know, if you really want to hear something harsh, if you don't develop, Yichud HaMaaseh is in contrast to Avodah Zarah on a very deep level, meaning we only have one master, we have Hashem, and if we serve another master, that's Avodah Zarah. I'm not saying they're going to take you out and give you skila. But it is along those lines. It's along those lines. It's serving two masters, and we only have one master. So that Zakus Hamitzponim is the purity in the sense of like pure gold, pure silver, Zakus, a cleanliness. It's integrity and consistency. And bar levavos min ha'irbuv hamatzidosim is this confusion I talked about. It's clarity, it's not confusion, because this person that's running around being a people, you know, let's say you live your whole life, and if you walk away from life, again, this is psychological. The Chagat Lovos is talking what makes for an emotionally and a psychological, he's not talking religion, he's not talking frumkeit. he's talking really about an emotionally stable psyche, because he talks about integrity and consistency. And then just, if you have gone through life and you've done a billion isolated actions, and there's no commonality, it's just you've done a billion things, that's like it's a waste, almost. I say almost because if you happen to follow halacha, you're not going to go below the Kav Adom, you're not going to go below the red line. But if you really want to get somewhere, and this is why the Sefer Chovos HaLevavos was written, as he writes in his very, very long Hakdama to the whole Sefer, like, you know, a pity. You know, he doesn't want people, Laman Lo Nigalarik, as we said once. You know, it's a pity to just go through life, walk the walk and talk the talk, and you don't have as much to show for it at the end of the day as you could have. You have quite a bit, and you're okay, and if you're... goal of life is to stay out of Gehenna, so you'll probably be okay. I say probably only because, you know, we don't know Hashem's mishpat. The Rambam says we don't know Hashem's scale. We don't know what he puts into the scale. We could have once done something that tips the scale way out of what we think is proportional to the kamus, the amount in numbers of other types of actions we've done. But we'll, there's no point worrying about that. That's Hashem has to get the accountant, and he has to get the bookkeeper, and we don't have to worry. We just have to worry about doing our best, which is no small thing. But we want to go beyond that. That's the Chavis of us. Whoever learned Sunday night Shara Avodas Elokim realizes how much more there is than just the ritual. The ritual, he keeps insisting, is a stepping stone to much bigger and better things. What we call a relationship with Hashem. You know, the word nowadays is a very popular word, and it slides off of our mouth, out of our mouths, off of our tongues. But it means something. And for that, you have to go beyond the ritual. So if all we've done is a billion isolated incidents, that's sad. You want to add them up into a common theme. So that's, again, that's min ha'irbuvya. That's what he talks about. Bar levavos min ha'irbuv, from the confusion, hamafsid osam, which ruins the clarity, which ruins your relationship with Hashem, really. If we would call the most intense relationship that we experience in Olam Hazeh between a man and wife, then we know that any interests they have outside of the home that shuts out the other person. I'm not talking about having the husband do the dishes, chas v'shalom, or diapering babies. Please, let's not go there. That's kid stuff. I'm not talking about that. We're talking about if there are things outside the home that shuts out the other person. Or chas v'shalom, even worse. So then you can have the intense relationship that you were meant to have, obviously. And so that's in our experience, that would be a good marshal. Anything that takes you away from doing the Ratzon Hashem is going to spoil your relationship with Hashem. That's also min ha'irbuv ha'mafsid osam, refers to that also. Anything else, it's supposed to be all-encompassing, and it's supposed to be the totality of everything I do, and anything I... So first of all, it shouldn't be a billion isolated incidents. That in itself is a confusion, because they're supposed to come together as one unit. And it also spoils my relationship with Hashem if I'm focused on other things as well. And again, of course, we have what I said earlier, it's certainly mafsid osam, the fact that I just have two masters. That's already something that takes away from Hashem Echad, and it takes away from my being Echad. Okay, we'll continue now in the Chayvus Halvavos' Psicha, Tishar Yichud HaMaisa, where, I don't know what print you have, around the second or third or fourth line. Another benefit, again, he's not talking religion, he's talking the human being, how it makes a more perfect human being, emotionally, psychologically, and in terms of relationship with Hashem. He says, V'ha-hatzola, it's this, it saves you, mi-minei ha-yipui ha-mevi al-hachonef. So minei ha-yipui just means to be a people pleaser. So you say, what's so terrible? What's so terrible if I do things in a way that makes people hold of me and respect me, and that's my goal, and I, you know, it feels good. What's so terrible? As long as I do the right thing. So his answer is ha-mevi al-hachonef. Because down the, you know, that's, it's naive, terribly, terribly naive. Because down the line, you're going to get to a point where you have to make a choice. And then if your heart belongs to the crowd, if your heart belongs to what people think of you, then chonef means someone who covers up for other people's sins, for other people's rishus sins, lack of responsibility, lack of integrity, lack of avodas Hashem. I'm chonef if I cover up, if I smile, if I say, yeah, that's okay, don't feel so bad, in the sense that I'm trying to make the person think that it doesn't really matter. I'm not talking about how to deal with someone that's nichshal and chet. That's not a chonef. That you have to know how to deal with someone that's been nichshal and chet, how to give tochacha, how to be makar of people. But if you're being a chonef, it means you don't want the person to get mad at you. You don't want to lose your job, perhaps. As happened in Gush Katif, all these people who didn't want to lose their jobs or lose their standing, either in the government or in the army, and they went along with a terrible crime. That's a chonef. So he's saying, v'ha-hatzolo mi-minei ha-yipui, you get, if you develop yichud ha-maisa, you save yourself from the yipui ha-mevi el-hachonef, from the being a crowd pleaser, caring what people think of you, the kind of caring that leads to the chonef. You're free. You're not obsessed with what some people are, mamash obsessed with what people think of them. Almost everyone cares. And he wants to develop in us, Shari Yichud HaMaisa wants to develop in us to lose that. So you'll say, wait a minute. Of course you're supposed to care what people think about you, aren't you? Well, only if that's the will of Hashem. Right. Hashem doesn't want you to do things that make people be choshed b'ksherim. Hashem doesn't want you to do things that turn people off. Hashem doesn't want you to do things that make people think badly of Ovdei Hashem. But this is now all under the heading of, what does Hashem want? It's never, of course I care what people think about me. No, it's, I care about what people think about me, just like I care about taking challah properly, and making a bracha properly, and all the various things that Hashem demands of me. So that's one of them, and it has its rules, and its limitations, and its gvulot, and its qualifications, and it's like every mitzvah. So that's also something that's important to Hashem, if you want to influence others, if you want to make a kiddush Hashem, sheyei shem shemayim mis'ahei valyotcha is certainly an imperative. Right, to make a kiddush Hashem, and that's in a sense caring what people think of you, but that's not your goal. So you say, so what's the difference? What we call it, Rabbi Milano? You're just playing with words. No. Because then, when push comes to shove, and you have to do something, like Avraham Avinu had to do the Akedah, and all of a sudden the whole world's gonna say, I lost his mind. He shechted his son. His whole life he's preaching to us about child sacrifice. Forget about the nesayon vis-a-vis Hashem. Think about the inner struggle that his whole life now, his whole life's work gets thrown away in the garbage. That's not easy. All of a sudden, the whole world turns against him. My whole life, I stood for something. And now Hashem is asking me to contradict that. That's tough. That's tough. So if everything you've done until now in terms of Gemilas Chesed and in terms of Achnosos Orchim and in terms of teaching people about Hashem and being a paradigm of Chesed and of Avos Hashem and Shem Shemayim is Ayvel Yotcha was all because that was Hashem's will, so then, okay, today this is Hashem's will. But you see, if everything else was playing to the crowds, having people say, wow, what a Baal Chesed, what a Oev Hashem, what a this, what a that, right? And then all of a sudden when, boom, when you have to do something that's people are terribly against, and everybody's saying, but Rabbi, you don't understand. I hear it at least 15 times a day. If I don't understand so much, why don't they just get rid of me? It's unbelievable how much I don't understand. So you try and you do your best. So, okay, ulehisratzos, and it saves you from lehisratzos bechalukos lebruim ulehisros. That's your integrity, to put up a show for other people. How many people daven Shmona Esrei in their homes the same way they daven in shul? I submit to you a very, very small percentage. And I'm talking about myself, I'm talking about everybody. It's the way it is, it's there. That reality is there. Kamosha Omer, okay, well, that's what it means, ulehisratzos, to play favorites, b'chalkus lebroim, by kowtowing to other bruim, ulehisraos, that to put on a show. It saves you from that. Again, it's avoda. It's like bitocho. No one's going to walk out of here and be, you know, this is a lifetime of work. This is avoda. The Chovetz Chabad wrote the Sefer to teach us how to do it. This is all the hakdama. This is to whet our appetite. He's going to take us by the hand and show us how to do it. In chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. This is how you do it. Let me show you how to do it. Just like in bitochon. He showed us how to do it. Chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. This is to tell us the stakes involved. And it's deep. It's like, you know, what do I have to be talking for? I'll be doing Hashem. That's all. Next. What do you have to learn Hashem's will? We're doing Hashem's will when we do the mitzvahs. Next. Kamosha Omer Elihu. Elihu says a fantastic pasuk. It's a pasuk in Iyov. Al no esa pnei ish. I don't show favoritism to people. Vel odom lo achane. If there's a person, this is the way Rashi understands the pasuk. If there's a person that requires musar, tochacha, lo achane, I don't beat around the bush and I don't want to confront him. Now again, if someone has taught you how to give tochacha, and they tell you don't confront the person because that's just going to get him to put up his defenses, and that's fine, then it's just the methodology of giving tochacha. He's talking about if a person doesn't want to confront a sinner because he doesn't want to get on his bad side. Ki lo yodati achane. I don't even know how to do it, says Elihu. I don't even know how to be a phony. That's pretty good if someone can say that, right? What does phony mean? Okay, so that's it. And again, it's about Avodas Hashem, and it's also about being a strong person with integrity and consistency and emotionally healthy, because you're not scattered. And it's not easy to be, it's not so easy. As I say, sometimes it gets very deep into the person's life. Sometimes people, you know, I think I've said this, like people, you know, they suffer a tragedy on a yontif and they're not supposed to mourn. And like, how you're supposed to control your thoughts, control your emotions, because that's the Ratzon Hashem. and superhuman, absolutely superhuman. But you got to go. You got to go from Purim to Tisha B'Av, right? As we go throughout the year, the person has to deal with Purim and the person has to deal with Tisha B'Av, and it's not a contradiction. Why? So first, Hashem built a person that he has the ability to do it. That we learned, if you remember, in the last parak in Shaar Avodas Elokim, he peers up a whole bunch, a list of maybe 10 or 15 conflicting emotions, and he says, sometimes you got to do like this, and sometimes happy, see it. Courageous, hide under the bed. And he goes through a whole list of twins, opposite, contrasting twins, and he says, this is what a person is capable of, this is how Hashem made a person. But it is the reason it doesn't tear you apart, it shouldn't tear you apart as a person and in your mind and who you are and what you represent, is because it's all Ratzon Hashem. And Hashem built, so you say, well, you have to understand, Hashem made a person. And there's no question in my mind that Hashem made a person with this problematic need to be loved and to be approved of, and that is in a person. That's in a person's DNA, in his psyche, because we're supposed to turn around and direct it at Hashem. Hashem wants us, I'm supposed to want that everything I do, Menoach Motzochein Be'enei Hashem. Hashem approves of me, Hashem likes me, Hashem is proud of me. That's so the next step after Hashem, most of the time, people have different types of lives, but most of the time it's our parents. And that's, you know, psychiatry 101, that we want our parents to approve of us. We want our parents to, and it's very difficult for Balei Tshuva, probably the most difficult, I don't know, the most difficult, because they have to go through a heck of a lot besides that. But I always imagine emotionally, like, they have to really, if their parents do not approve of what they're doing, it's, that's the toughest nisayon. That's Avraham Avinu. It's like a nisayon on the scale of Avraham Avinu with the Akedah. You have to go against a most basic human need and desire and psychology. It's tough. Very tough. I imagine it's tough. I've never been in that situation exactly. So. But it should be very, very tough. And so there's techniques, but you have to have the yesod, you know. So, you know, when the contrast is stark and you're facing, I've learned about Shabbos and I want to be Shomer Shabbos, I want to eat kosher, so you know, it's at that point of a person's life, it's very, very difficult, to say the least, and I have never experienced it. So, but then as you go through life, you have more and more subtle things, right? I have a fellow now, right? Okay, his parents can accept that he's frum, accept everything. They can't accept that he is in a yeshiva and he doesn't have a job. They can't accept that. Like, life is about having a job and earning money. Like, that's life, that's what it's about. Like, and they can't make, they can't get over that. They can accept everything with the paper plates, with the everything. Everything. Shabbos, kashrus, everything. They can't even have a job. Because to them, that is your self-identity. That's who you are. What you do. How you earn money. How you, so it's very, very hard. It's hard. It's a difficult, he has to deal with it. It's not easy. It's not as if he needs money now. It's not a money issue. It's a job. What do you do? What do you mean you don't do anything? Okay. V'roi ato, and now it's would be most appropriate. Shenevoer menyane yichra ma'isel elokim shisha inyanim. I will explain. And lo and behold, there are six prakim. What a coincidence. And this is what he does always. He gives us a table of contents, and he tells us what he'll be dealing with it in the Shaar. Echad Mehem, number one, and this is Perek Aleph, and this is classical, was Halavos, I've said it a million times, it will be a minion in one. The first thing he does is give a definition. If you, and it's so important just for any type of analytical thinking. You're not going to talk about something and argue about something and fight about something and work on something and give up and be most inevitable. You don't even have a definition. You don't even know what you're doing. So you end up arguing with people and like you're on this page and they're on that page and you haven't defined the term. You're fighting if a person should be a Yirei Shemayim or a Chosid or a Talmud Chacham or what does it mean? What does it mean? What define the term. Haredi. Fight the Haredi, not Haredi. You have to define the term before you fight. You fight afterwards. Plenty of time to fight afterwards. That was a joke. Plenty of time. A sensitive issue. Rabbi, you don't understand. You can't make jokes about such things. These are serious matters. Go read Caroline Glick's article in either today's or yesterday's Jerusalem Post. She says it's all a bunch of baloney. Read it. She has statistics and surveys and everything. Israeli society is becoming closer and closer together. They're moving here. She's talking about from people, not from people, Haredim, non-Haredim, Dati Lumi. Everybody's moving closer together. This is all a, I don't know if you use the word plot, it's all a plot by the people who don't want them to move closer together, so they're trying to firebomb, they're throwing in a Molotov cocktail into life, so they're hoping it'll explode and ignite. I recommend highly Caroline Glick's article. I don't know when it is. It's either today or yesterday. It's called, hold on, I have it, I printed it out. It's called, I don't know, whatever it's called. Unity, face, I don't know, whatever it's called. It's called something. Lo Mishaneh, you could tell from the name. What? The definition is Caroline Glick's article. You need a definition. Oh, is Israeli society unraveling? January 2nd. Yesterday? January, very much. What's today, the 4th? Okay, January 2nd. I don't know where it was in the Jerusalem Post. On the internet, Chas v'Shalom, it was January 2nd. January 2nd. Is Israeli society unraveling? Posted on January 2nd. Published in the Jerusalem Post, I don't know when. Anyway, you read it, and she shows, Mamish, that there's never been more Haredim in the army, or in college, or working, and the Dati Lumi, and this, and secular society is moving closer to wanting to be Jewish. More and more secular people are putting their kids in Mamachti Dati schools. As a society, it's coming together. Read, and then there's people that are going to lose power from this and love to have tensions in society because they gain from it. So they're doing everything they can to take incidents and hopefully it'll catch on fire. And so read it. At least you'll get chizuk from it. And you won't tell me, but Rabbi, you don't understand. Okay. So number one is to define Yichud HaMaisa, which we've done pretty good, and maybe that's why Perek Aleph is only one line. He beats the Perek Aleph of Shaar HaBitachon, which was five lines. The longer a definition is, the less you're going to understand it. Right? You want the shortest, when you give a definition, you want like three words is good, maybe four, maybe ten, but that's it. Like, you talk too much, you lose it. So number one is to define it. Mahu yichud ha'maisa le'elokim. V'hasheni b'mei yiyyeh. How do you get there? You want to have a cake. Okay, what are the ingredients? How are you going to get to yichud ha'elokim? He lists them. 10 principles of your relationship with Hashem that when you mix it into the batter, and a little of this, and a little bitachon, and a little emunah, and a little courage, and a little this, and a little of that, put it in the oven, put it on 350, and you come out with Yichud HaMaisa. That's what chapter 2 is. It's a recipe chapter. V'hashlishi be'eze maisa chayoven bo. Where is it manifested? Is it manifested when you do mitzvahs? When you do things that aren't mitzvahs, perhaps, or anything, like your whole life, every action I take, every yawn that I take, every time I go to sleep, every time I sit down and relax, like, b'mei, b'ezem ma'isa chayovim bo, like, what, which of my actions, some, all, none of the above, some of the above, all of the above, have to carry in it that inner nucleus of yichud ha'maisa, devoting yourself to the Ratzon Hashem. I'm sorry? Is someone asking a question? No? Baby sleeping? Okay. Hey, if I didn't put the baby to sleep, nothing will. Baharavi, Perek Dalad. Come on. Come to the Sunday night classes.
I don't know if you want me to.
Come to my drushes on Shabbos. I look out. I'm so proud of myself. People don't have to take a Shabbos nap anymore. V'horavi'i, kamo mine mafsidov. What will spoil yichud hamaisa? Whether it's things in your character that you have to work on, things in your attitude, things in your... You suddenly realize, oh, I didn't have a really good understanding of what my relationship with Hashem is. I didn't really have a deep understanding of Hashem as the creator, and he is the Adon Kol, and he tells us what to do. Like, I had sort of a child, you know, you realize, you had sort of a childish concept of the mitzvahs, and Hashem is this king that's bossing us around, and he's stronger than we are, so we better listen to him. So, kamamine mafsidov, to realize what spoils Yichud HaMaisa. V'chamishi, Perek 5, is how to keep away from the things he listed in Perek 4. Eich ofani harchokosom, how to distance yourself from the things listed in chapter 4, min hanefesh, ad sheyitochen, so that it will be possible. Livnei odom, liyachet kol maisa sheyasu, which sort of gives away the answer to number 3, l'shem hakel. But as we said when we learned Bitachon, saying Kol Maisa is very, very liberating, because now it's not confined to mitzvahs anymore. It's not confined to mitzvahs. It's everything we do, I'm doing because it's Hashem's will. I can go shopping, I can be anything I do, and this is really Nogea women to a large, to Nogea men also, of course, but it's Nogea women who, I don't know your backgrounds, but many women struggle because of the feminist movement in America. Many women are not at peace. Good women. But they're not at peace. And they sort of, adarat nashim. Well, okay, it's true, but we have to be frum and Hashem, and I'm going to listen to Hashem, and I'm going to be moser nefesh. And they sort of buy into the Western culture. But they're moser nefesh, and in a way, like wow, they're moser nefesh. They're willing to give up something that they sort of believe in order to do Hashem's will. But of course, it's not true. It's not, the whole thing is not true, but again, if you were raised a certain way that equality means something, it's very hard to shake that. So you say, Adarat Hashem, it's not fair because it's so beautiful, Judaism. I mean, it's true, but it still doesn't take away from the beauty of Judaism. There are women that think that way, good women. And Adarabba, in a way, it's sort of admirable that they are not at peace with the Torah's view of women. Maybe they never learned it, or maybe they grew up in an environment. I know women, the shul, wonderful people, really, really good, but they grew up in an environment of a more modern orthodoxy, even, or Stama, more modern, and feminism. I mean, when I was growing up, feminism like took over the world by storm. Like the Amazon women, you know, strong women. You know, there's a myth, Amazon, you know, Wonder Woman, you never had comic books.
Anyway, they're strong women. They take over the world. Anyway, so a woman can... This is very important for a woman. If she has that issue, the idea that the ikar is Ratzon Hashem, not mitzvahs, but doing Hashem's will, and that applies to everybody lives 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, right? And everybody has to do the will of Hashem. And that's all we have to do, and nothing else. So the man that works has to feel that way when he goes to work, and you never manutak from Hashem. And for a woman who has an issue, really, this is a very important perek, chamishi, that liyachet kol ma'isa sheyasa l'shem hakel, everything is done with that focus. And that's really being an Eved Hashem. That's what Eved means. Eved is 24/7. Eved is not when it's time to daven, or when it's time to make a bracha, or when it's time to be frum. It's not an Eved. That's a kablan. He has certain jobs to do, right? Nobody doesn't say Moshe Kablan Hashem. Doesn't say. Vashishi, number six, the final chapter, and this is so important and deep and hard and so beautiful. Like you read it, the sixth perek is that a person has to be able to control his thoughts, his or her thoughts and motivations, not to have your mind filled with garbage or with things that take you away, whether it's midos that are in the mind, whether it's envy or the desire for kavod, or just controlling your thoughts, disciplining your thoughts. You say, what does it have to do with yichud hamaisa? Because if you can't do this, it's the last parak, you have to be able to do this. You have to discipline your thoughts and control your thoughts, and this is going to happen over time. It is not an easy process. V'nishmar mimena u'moshel ba, you control your thoughts. Your thoughts do not control you. And he gives you techniques in the sixth parak how to do this. And this is something that can pop up at you one day and you didn't even know it was there. Because in an avera, you do an avera and you know you did an avera yesterday. But when something's in your mind and you're resentful about something, and this is why people go to therapists in human relationships, but it's there in Hashem relationships too. Something happened maybe when you were young, or maybe something happened 3 years ago, and you're resentful, you're angry at Hashem, and you're resentful, and it just, it sits there, and you have to learn how to deal with it. No good to sit there being angry at Hashem, being resentful at Hashem, having a question on Hashem. You can have a question on Hashem if you realize it's a question and we don't always have the answers, because Hashem is Hashem. Then you, at least you're at peace then. I'm talking about a turmoil in the human psyche, and that's what he says. The sixth paragraph is going to give you techniques how to discipline and control your thoughts and your attitudes. And this is how sometimes, Rahman al-Itzlan, people end up doing averis. And you look at them and you go, I'm making another point now. It refers to another phenomena, where sometimes people doing averis say, how could that person have sunk so low? How could he have done, or she have done such a thing? I can't believe it. You know how? Because it doesn't happen in one day. Because they have something in their heads that they saw, or they experience haroya soita b'kukula yazar atzma min ayayin, because you got to get rid of it, because it could sit there, and over 3 years, the unthinkable can become thinkable, and all of a sudden, that's how the mind works, and that's why Hashem cares about what's in our minds, and says v'lososuru achrei levadchem v'achrei einechem, because something was like reprehensible out of the question, and then if it sits there and you don't deal with it, then it festers and it grows. Sometimes it has fertile ground to grow in. We live in a world where there's plenty of fertile ground. Or again, a resentment against Hashem, or a question, confessor, or self-doubt about yourself, your growth. And this is all included in chapter 6, where he says, Nizer b'machshava, be careful about what you think about. Nishmar mimena, watch out what your head has in it. Umoshel ba, and it will teach you how to control your thoughts and be the bailim. You'll be the owner, the master over your thoughts. So those are the six problems of Shara. And next week.